And welcome to another motherfucking episode of the Quaid Things podcast. I am very happy to be back, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. If you want to, I know it's been a while since I've put out a podcast, but if you want to go ahead and take a look back, if this is your first time giving a listen, I've had incredible interviews and talks with some amazing artists and different people in the industry. So go back in my back catalog and check it out if you're still wanting some content. So we'll kick off with that. But I also want to give a shout out to Smith Music Group. Those guys always keeping it real for me. DJ and Rick, I love you guys so much. If you guys need some distribution done with your projects, with your art, stuff like that, give me or them a holla. We can hook you up with some stuff. So if you also want to check out my friends at Texas Gypsy Shirts, keeping me fly when I'm not in a black band tee. I'm actually in a pearl snap. We do not do a video format of this podcast, but I am in a fucking pearl snap right now, and I dig it because it is hot outside and this thing is nice, and all of my band tees are black, and it is, again, like 108 degrees outside. So, nah. Yeah, check them out, Texas Gypsy Shirts. They've got a brick and mortar there inside, or a booth there inside of Docs Records in Fort Worth. Pick up some vinyl and some threads, dude. You will not regret it. And last but not least, Ironclad Custom Services. Keeping you with your custom engraving. It's wedding season. Got to hook those bachelor... groomsmen. I said the wrong fucking word there. You got to hook the groomsmen up with some really cool stuff. You know what I mean? Bridal parties. You want to get your dad something nice for Christmas with his name on it? Hook him up, man. They've got all sorts of stuff. So check them out. First responder owned and operated, supporting the people on the front lines. Go give them a shot. My guests this week, some fucking dear friends of mine, dude. I've got Johnny Signs and Adam, Gallegos.
That's
fucking
right.
A, I didn't skip that up. I'm the worst. A Flatland Cavalry hanging out with me here in Oklahoma City. What's up, fellas?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up? Dude, fucking hanging and slanging, guys.
Hell yeah.
It is, it's nice to be here today, just because it was so fucking hot outside today. And I had a working outside job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I've been out in this shit since like 6 o'clock this morning.
Oh man. When does it, you start usually getting pretty hot? By what time in the morning?
The last couple of days, it's been about 8, and it's already like toasty.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's probably, it has to be in the triple digits.
Yeah, I was listening to the radio on the way up here, and they're like, yeah, the low tonight's like 82. I'm like, that's fucking nice. With fucking humidity and shit.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's crazy. Last night when we were in bus call in Fort Worth, it was already 11 p.m., but you walk outside and your glasses would still fog up.
Yeah.
Because of the humidity, it's so terrible.
The worst part about having glasses is that.
Agreed.
That's fucking miserable. So, if you guys want to tell us a little bit about yourselves, the people who are unfamiliar with who y'all are, Johnny, we'll start with you. Where did you, like, grow up, my dude? How did you get inspired by music? All that kind of stuff, man.
Well, I grew up in Lubbock, Texas, most of my life. A lot of my friends have gone and moved away from Lubbock, but you know who you are. You know, the people that are still there,
right.
The people that have moved away, you know. It's Lubbock's kind of like that place of, people don't live there long. I don't want to live there long. You know, it's kind of that place of you come through and you meet some people and you kind of grow with them and you move out. But
dude, I can see that. I definitely think it's kind of got a rubber band effect to it also. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because like I'm up here now and I'm like, man, when I'm able, I am moving back.
I'm going back to Lubbock.
I want Lubbock, maybe Stephenville area, Fort Worth area, something like that. I want to, but I miss Lubbock often. Like I sit over here and I'm like, man, on my days off, I'm like, man, I wish I could go to Lubbock right now.
For sure.
That'd be really nice.
I still definitely miss my family that's in Lubbock.
Yeah. And my mom and everybody's out there. So,
right. So I try to go see them as much as I can, but you know, there's a good music scene there in Lubbock and it kind of gets forgotten about. It's so up in the panhandle and everybody always thinks that Austin's the music place in Texas, but everybody kind of forgets about Lubbock and there's so much music that's come out of there. And me and Adam kind of went through there and we got our starts in Lubbock and I got my start at SBC and that's where I met you, Quaid.
Yeah.
And you were a bass major and I was a drum major. So mm-hmm. that was way back when.
Dude, what year was that? Like 2013?
2013, I'd say.
Jesus fucking Christ. We're old.
Yeah, man. I'm about to be 30 in like 3 days. So.
Dang. Well, happy early birthday, dude. Thank I just turned 31. 30 was scary for about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like I was hanging out with a couple of friends, turned midnight, fucking turned 30. And I was just kind of like, dang, I'm 30. And I kind of had this like internal crisis for a minute. And then I was like, I'm not in the 27 club.
It's not that bad. Right. And then I'm like, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to stop it. So like we've got this. So 30 is not that scary. Trust me. I made it. If anything, I've gotten smarter, which doesn't say much.
That's your prime, man. It's a real prime.
30 but is like
30s your new 20s, right?
Yeah, man. I think 20s is all like you're really busting your ass and trying to figure out who you are as a person. And 30s is you're reaping, you know, what you sowed. So it's that like you get to enjoy it.
Right.
You know, I hope.
Fingers crossed.
But yeah, like that's a little bit of my story. You know, I kind of grew up with my dad playing music. And so I kind of looked up to him to be that person of how to teach me how to, you know, learn music.
Okay. What did he play?
I played guitar mostly. And so I grew up playing church, you know, in the church and started playing drums first, like by the age of 3. And so my parents got me a drum set like for Christmas, like either 3 or 4. And my mom said that she was trying to show me, like, listen, this is how you know, hit them. And I told her, hey, I got this. Like, please stop. Like, right. At that age, I was already the critiquing asshole that I am today. But, at that age, I believe that that's when I was, like, inspired to do this. You know, and it's always been my dream to be where I am today. So it's pretty cool.
Fucking A, man. No, it's a... It's crazy to see everybody come up. We'll get there because we were definitely going to start going off on tangents fast. Yeah, yeah. Adam, where did you grow up, man?
Carlsbad, New Mexico.
Oh, shoot. We got another New Mexican.
Yeah, that's right. Born and raised Carlsbad. Graduated high school there. But no one in my immediate family. My brother took piano lessons kind of around the same time I did, but he was more of the athletic guy. Mm-hmm. I'm athletic, but not as athletic as he was. You know, he was like really good. So he played all the sports and my folks put me in piano lessons when I was like 5. And I did some classical piano and then guitar crept in. You know, I started listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan, AC/DC, stuff like that, you know. And then bluegrass out of nowhere, you know, came out of nowhere. And then I was like, you know, mandolin, you know, banjo, dobro, that kind of stuff. So it just went, you know, from there. And I went to school at Belmont for a year. It was too expensive. So then I went to SPC for a semester and then finished up at Tech. So I came through Lubbock, you know, where the rest of these guys kind of came through as well, just a little later on. So
yeah, we were all kind of slumming it up at Blue Light at the time. So you got your Blue Light shirt on. So shout out to at 1806 Buddy Holly. If you're in Blue Light, go hang out and get a burn shot. Have one for me. Don't ruin the vibe.
Yeah.
Please don't.
The bar that always wins.
Everybody's like, I beat the Blue Light one night. And it's like, no. I can legitimately name one person that I can honestly say I've seen beat the Blue Light. And for those who are unfamiliar, this is not a challenge. This is not recommended. Do not fucking do this. if I see this trending on TikTok or Twitter, I will find you. And you don't want that. But so it's essentially, I forget the number. But it's a ridiculous amount of shots. And like, I forgot. It's essentially like the Wade Boggs challenge where you just like, it was Dalton Domino back when he was not sober. And Dalton, if I'm sorry for telling the story, but it was fucking epic. but he marked his shirt and his arms and all this. And I forgot what number he got to. It was 30, 40 something. Like it was wow. Fucking, I'm not kidding. It was fucking stupid. And then you had to be able to walk from where you were bellied up at the bar to your ride home. like physically walk to whoever is driving you home, whatever Uber you're getting into, whatever that is what you have to do. And that was the deal. It was me and Mo and a bunch of other people. Like that's from what I understand, that is how you beat the Blue Light. Wow. But the number, I don't remember what the number was, but I can't do it. I never even tried.
Yeah. I've never done that exact challenge, but every time that I go there and I'm in the thinking of I'm going to go in there and have a good time.
Oh yeah. I'm just going to have a drink or two.
No,
that's,
it's four and you're somebody else's fucking house. That's why I say
the Blue Light always wins.
Every time.
You can't go just thinking I'm going to have a drink or two, especially if your friends are there. Maybe if you go on a Tuesday night where there's not many people and, But even then,
man, we used to mob Tuesday, Johnny. Come on.
I mean, that was us, you know? It was me on Tuesday nights.
Right? I mean, but
climbing on the beer fridge.
There's always somebody, you know?
See right? Shit like that.
Yeah. We did some dumb shit in that bar back in the day. Golly, we did some dumb shit.
But yeah, man. Yeah.
I'm surprised more of us didn't die. I really am. I'm honestly surprised.
Honestly.
Jesus. So you guys have been killing it here recently. Of course, you guys have been doing great on the charts, touring everywhere, including Europe. What all fucking countries were you guys over there?
We went to, where did we go, Adam?
England,
Scotland,
and Ireland. Mm-hmm. We played in all three of them.
Okay, I remembered Glasgow, but I don't remember the other ones, because I think, Johnny, mm-hmm. I think you posted about how fucking dope Glasgow was.
Yeah.
Started in Glasgow.
Yeah, it was really cool to see the crowd over there for the first time, like, love us. And it was...
So did you guys sell out any shows over there?
The only one that sold out... Well, actually, no, they all three sold out. The ones right. that we played
with
Luke.
It was Luke thing. It was like, okay. A country festival, and it was a big festival. Lineup. Haley Witters.
Us, Ashley McBride.
Ashley McBride. Luke Combs, yeah.
That's righteous, though.
It was epic. Oh, yeah, man. It was great.
It was a great week of, like, hanging out with everybody. It was really cool, like... All the bands got to know each other, right. Hang out, you know, have breakfast, have lunch. And
yeah, and you guys have been doing a lot of shows with Luke Combs.
Yeah, man. He loves us. We're his little Texas boys, is what he says. So.
Yeah, I heard he named his kid after us. You know,
yeah,
Tex Combs.
Tex, yeah. It's
because of us.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. No, it's a better name than Quaid.
No, he named it after his great
grandfather
or something like that. But that's a cool name. Yeah, man, He's been nice enough to ask us to play some shows with them, and we actually did our last album, Welcome to Countryland. We did the like CD release weekend, like at his shows, and he, had us out for that last July.
Orange Beach, Alabama. Mm-hmm. It was like 10,000 people each night, three nights.
That's so fucking cool.
It was crazy.
And they treat us really good, man. Like hands down from Luke all the way down to the crew. So that's really nice.
Right?
Yeah, dude.
I'm so fucking happy for you guys. You. Like, it's so crazy seeing the Tuesday night gigs at Blue Light, the Wednesday night gigs at Blue Light, the fucking, the Lone Star Bar in fucking, Midland.
Yeah, that place finally closed down.
I know, dude. And that was so, it was way too late. It was the place closed down way too late. Yeah. No disrespect to anybody there, but kinda, that was so bad. It was such a bad
it's like
joke
a,
to
it's
be.
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
Everybody played there, you know.
Oh, dude, for sure. I wonder if, is anybody going to do anything with that building?
I haven't heard. I mean, the last time we were there was when we heard it closed down. It was a big surprise to us. We were joking about, like, going there and, like, playing a pop up show, and someone was like, no, that place closed down. We were like, what? You know?
Fucking. So, shit, I'm trying to think what all other venues are down, though, other than that, arena joint. What is it? The
in Midland?
Yeah.
The Horseshoe?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, there's that joint.
Yeah, I mean there's probably still Midnight Rodeo and
the Escape Lounge. That's in Odessa though, right?
Oh yeah.
And
there's Hacienda.
Oh yeah, that's the one I was thinking of, was Hacienda. Okay.
So yeah, I think it's like Midnight Rodeo, Hacienda, probably Horseshoe.
We
played there a couple weeks ago, and that was the first time we played in Midland outside.
Yeah.
And it was, Cleto did this TikTok about how him and Jason had been together since junior high, and they're coming back home and they're playing. And
right. I was messing because Cleto's from there.
And
I figured
all this stuff.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of cool shit since the last time we've talked. So he was kind of highlighting all this cool stuff. And so he hyped up the show, all these people came out, and then it poured rain for at least 3 hours. I mean, it was bad.
That's so sad.
And, it was sad, but it was like everyone literally stayed. A lot of people literally stayed through the whole time. They went in the little shelter that they had, and they waited this whole time. And so we were like, dude, we have to play the show. Because they literally all went to the front of the stage, and they had the little screen down already, like the show was over, it's the beer tents are everywhere, this place got demolished, but they stayed around, they wanted to see Flatlands.
So. Texas has the best fans, dude.
Dude, they're great, man. Yeah. Through and through. They've always been, the ones that started and they're going to be there till the end. So,
right. So then why did you move to Nashville? Why are you moving to Nashville?
I mean, I feel like.
Well, dude, and Mode moved to DMAC. Like it's, yeah. It's crazy.
Well, we're always going to play Texas.
Oh yeah. I know. I'm just giving you a hard time, yeah. but is that kind of where you guys are all basing out of now?
Yeah. A lot of our business is based out of Nashville, and four of the six members are now in Nashville with Adam probably moving there soon with him and his fiance.
Just kind of a cool experience, you know, not even somewhat of it, not even related to like Flatland at all, like just being around this whole new scene and, you know, all these incredible players and stuff. You know, obviously Texas has incredible players too, but Nashville is just a weird conglomerate of just stone cold killers, you know? So it's kind of cool to be there and be inspired and, you know, just see people.
Dude, I want to make a trip down there soon. Well, I say soon, it'll probably be fucking 10 years before I get over there.
That's really cool. You got to take a couple days to go, like at least three. There's so much to do, like the touristy stuff. But then, like you said, you know, so many people that live there. You want to go see those people too, you know?
Yeah, and I already feel like I've seen so much of Nashville because like Mode will FaceTime me or like I'll get a fucking snap from fucking so-and-so or, you know, fucking Garrett will send me a snap. So it's like, I already seen so much of fucking Nashville. It's like, I just don't get to be there.
Right.
So, but I don't know. I'm just pumped that like so many good bands are moving up there because I'm really hoping that will make a huge shift in what we see as commercial country music.
For sure, man. Yeah. I feel like it's just kind of like it's almost like just like a promotion or like an upgrade. Like you've worked as much as you can in the Texas market, and it's like, okay, well, I believe in myself, like, we can get further than Texas. You know, that's all it ever was for us is we just want to spread our music as far as it'll go.
Yeah.
And we've been fortunate to be asked to go, you know, out of the country and play in front of fans we've never seen or been in front of before. And they, by the end of the night, they were up on their feet dancing, clapping their hands. So just seeing that in real life, you know, it's pretty nuts.
Hell yeah. You said the magic word.
Nuts. Oh, no.
There's only one nut that I cannot have.
That is the peanut.
The peanut.
This motherfucker. So.
2019.
Yeah, I was about to say, let me paint a picture.
Literally
for you.
When the whole, our lives changed.
Yeah, it was the last time y'all played here. It was at the fucking tower. And yeah, it was in 2019. We were going to do this. This was supposed to happen three fucking years ago.
It's been on schedule since then.
Yeah, thank you, COVID, asshole. But so we were fucking hanging out over there, having a couple of topos, having some finger food. And you're like, I'm going to munch this granola bar real quick. And we'll go hit this podcast. I'm like, fucking A, dude. Let's do it. So you grab the granola, you grab the bar, you take a bite, and immediately you were like, dude.
Like, I could instantly tell, you know?
Bro, so fucking walk us through from there how you were fucking feeling.
Okay, well, at that point, we're outside, you know, standing outside. And I was like, man, this, you know, my throat's starting to feel kind of scratchy. Like, I think... You know, I went and found the wrapper that I threw in the trash can.
Yeah.
And on the front it said dark chocolate cherry cashew. So in my head, it's like, okay, this is the cashew one. This doesn't have peanuts in it. Not according to Kind.
Yeah, thanks, Kind.
Kind.
And then the ad for Kind plays. Almost killed Johnny. Anyways.
Thanks for almost axing my friend there, pal.
But I was like kind of freaking out. And I was like, well, I probably need to do something about this. And so at that time, I asked Cleto if he had a Benadryl, and he was like, yeah, I have one, but it's in the bus. So at this time, we're like right outside the green room in Tower, which is like upstairs. And so I had to run all the way downstairs, that windy ass little stairway.
Right. Already run yourself out of fucking breath.
Yeah. And I'm like, already can't breathe. Like, we get to the bus and I pop the Benadryl. At this point, you're the only people that know what's happened is you, Cleto, and I think Jake.
Yeah.
Our last front of house guy. And at this point, you know, I take the Benadryl. I'm like, okay, I'm kind of just breathing through it. We go and have a sound check, and then we have a meet and greet. And at this, like, by this point, I'm really starting to breathe fast and, like, really struggle to breathe. And so Nando, our media guy, asked me, hey, can you do one more picture? I'm like, dude, I really can't. I have to go right now. And so I go to the restroom, and I throw up all that I have. Which is probably also the Benadryl.
Right, yeah.
So that didn't help.
No, but
I mean, it kind of helped me, but it backfired, you know? And so at this point, I get out of the building, run back to the bus, and I tell our front of house guy, Jake Teague, shout out to my man, Jake Teague.
Mr. Coach.
Mr. Coach. He was like, well, I'm going to tell Quaid that we might need to use his car to go to the hospital, but you can take your breathing treatment, and if that doesn't work, we're going. So I turn it on, and I can't even maybe get like two like full breaths, and he's like, no, let's go. Yeah. And so at this point, we're already in a bus, so we couldn't take the van or the bus.
Yeah, the bus is not a speedy fucking
to the ER.
The ER, yeah. And so, fucking ambulance. This is America. We can't afford that shit.
Yeah, I can't do that. You know, this is Flatland. I'm not, you know, Bon Jovi over here. So my boy Quaid, if it wasn't for him being doing this podcast, well, said podcast that we were trying to do.
Right. If we wouldn't have had the podcast planned.
Yeah, the car wouldn't have been here, so I would have had to get an ambulance, but saved me money there.
Hey, man, let's
We're driving down, you know, flying down the road. We go to a hospital, and me and Jake run in there. But as we're going into the parking lot...
My dumbass fucking... And I hadn't had a drop to drink. I don't drink anymore. Like, this is not the fucking point. The point is the road didn't fucking look right. Going into the parking lot, because everybody looked at me like I was... I felt judged. I definitely felt a little judged in this moment. But so I don't know if it was the way the fucking streetlights were or what, but so I'm trying to pull into this fucking parking lot, and I'm cooking because I've got a guy dying in my back seat over here. So, and I hang a left into this motherfucking parking lot, and I think I'm going like where you're supposed to go into a fucking parking lot from the street, right?
Right.
I hit the fucking curb square and like boom, this motherfucker in there in a Malibu. I was like, well, my car's fucked.
But, I thought it was going to tear your bumper off.
Oh, dude, I thought it was already off. I was like, it's toast. My car's toast. Like, we're done. As soon as I get this bitch in park, we're going to have to tow it somewhere. But so we've got Johnny to the hospital and we're okay. But we get you out of the fucking vehicle.
We run in there. Me and Jake run in there, and there's no one in there. There's no nurse, no nurses anywhere. It looks like the Walking Dead in there, dude. It looks like no one's in there. No one's working. And we're like, hello, hello. And Jake works at hospital, so I trusted him fully with my life. You know, he's like,
right.
We got to go to another one. And we come back out, and you're probably thinking,
yeah, no,
what?
I was standing in the parking lot. I was looking my car over. I remember, so I was like, man, my car's fucked. So I'm looking, and like, my bumper was a little fucked up. But like, that was... I was looking to make sure I wasn't leaking any fluids anywhere or anything. Right. We hit that motherfucker square. I don't think there's any other better words for it. And we were cooking it. I was trying to come in that bitch like Mario Andretta.
So we finally got back out.
I see you motherfuckers running out. And I was like, what the hell? And it's like, oh, there's nobody in there. I'm like, what do you mean there's nobody in there? It's a hospital. There's nobody in that motherfucker. So then we start Googling to find another fucking hospital, and we get you there.
Finally get me there.
Yeah, how long? You had to wait for a while still, didn't you?
Well, I passed out. They finally, when I got in there, I hadn't really looked in a mirror in a while. But yeah, when I got in there, she was like, okay, you need to calm down, sit down, you know. Yeah,
you look like somebody hit you with a bag of fucking nickels.
Yeah, I was swollen from head to toe, man. I've never had a reaction that bad before. And, I mean, this is, I the size of the granola bar was, I mean, not
Yeah, you were taking huge. Like a bite of the fucking thing.
Yeah, I mean, it almost put me down and out for the count, but... I was in the hospital for like 2 hours on a Benadryl drip, fell asleep. The nurse tickled my foot awake, gave her my information, got out, came to the show, played the show.
Yeah, they didn't have to postpone the fucking show or anything either, did they?
I came back.
God, that is some rock star shit. Straight the fuck up. That is rock star shit.
Dude.
I'd have gone home. I'd have put on clean socks. I'd have made a cup of coffee. I don't feel good.
From Adam's perspective, they're like, no one knew where I was.
No one knew what was going on. So, yeah, Dylan was telling me, like, all right, you might have to play bass tonight. And I'm like, I don't know all John's parts, dude. It's going to be a nightmare. And then John makes it back. And I was like, are you serious? Like, you're here right now?
Because yeah. I saw you had your fucking hospital bracelet on in the show, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Fucking
we played a sold out show.
You were doing your breathing treatment and you were already like swollen. And so, like, seeing you back at the venue, like, ready to play, I was like, I don't know what this is about, but.
It's fucking witchcraft, man.
Yeah, I was like, let's go.
I came back, we played the show, it was sold out. It was great. And then the next day was when we open for Luke Combs for the first time.
Very first time.
Heck yeah.
So I like never forget that because it was like me almost dying and then, you know, playing at the AT&T Center with Luke Combs the next day. So it was like,
yeah.
It's going to stick in my memory.
Almost the end of your life and then the beginning of a new life.
Yeah, dude. That's like literally, that was literally the beginning of the rest of like where we are now.
Yes.
Let's put us to where we are now. So.
Well, and you guys are about to step into the fucking studio again, right? Or are you guys already recording?
We are about to step into the studio in August.
Oh.
We're going to start recording some new stuff.
Are you guys allowed to say where and with who?
I don't really know.
I don't really know if we've decided yet. But I think we've gotten it down to a couple places. For sure, like this new record that we're going to go in for to record in August, that one's going to be with Bruce, I think. Bruce Robinson at the Bunker.
Heck yeah. He does all the Next Waltz stuff too, right?
Right. And then we're going to go back into the studio again to record another album next year.
Okay. So we're
going to have an EP and a full length.
Ooh, I like this.
Yeah, man. I mean, Cleto's really been writing a lot ever since we kind of made the move to Nashville. That's, you know, that was kind of his goal, personal goal for him is like how to grow as a writer. And in my opinion, I think he's one of the best writers I've ever worked with, you know?
Yeah.
But he has gotten better and like he's matured musically. And, I mean, the songs that he's written before compared to the ones that they're now, like they're still good, but they're just so much better, you know? Just from all the maturing he's done musically and throughout life, you know? But he's gotten to write with a lot of cool writers in Nashville and just get introduced for anywhere, you know, all over the map.
Fucking A, dude. Fucking A. No, it's so crazy just to still think back, you know, like how big every you guys are fucking huge right now. Randall's fucking huge right now. Red's fucking huge. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is all like this, like 4 year span, 5 year span in Lubbock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man.
And we saw it the whole, like, just,
yeah,
grow up, you know,
exactly. But like it's the whole time. Like, I think we like knew that like everybody was gonna do something fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't really fucking know what or how or
yeah.
But it's crazy to see it all like kind of come to fucking fruition, yeah, like this, man.
It's really cool. And it's really cool to pick up guys like Adam. You know, like
yeah,
we started me, Jason, Reed, and Cleto together, and then getting, you know, guys like Adam and Wes along the way and having their musical abilities, you know, shine out in the last couple albums. You know, like we had a studio fiddle player for the first couple albums, and mm-hmm. then when Wes joined the band, he felt like, hey, I want to try this, you know, I want to be the guy that gets to record like y'all, you know.
Yeah.
And so almost every solo that he did, it was in one take. I mean, it's just it.
Well, Wes is, you know, a gangster.
yeah.
I mean, well, and you're a gangster too, Adam. I mean,
appreciate it.
Like, I'm just Quaid, man. I'm sitting here with fucking hitters. So, it's fucking where is Wes?
Wes, I don't know. He's probably chilling. Just, yeah, probably chilling.
I was gonna say, shout out Steve Constancio, man.
Yeah, Steve Constancio, man.
You got me hyped up with these guys.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah,
SBC brother.
Yeah, no, he. Yeah, I'm 99% sure we are in a fucking ensemble at fucking South Plains.
That's awesome, man. That's my boy. So.
Yeah, dude, a fucking me and him and a fucking Kelly Tindall is playing with Colby Cooper right now.
That's right.
Nice.
Yeah, we were all in the fucking Red Dirt ensemble at South Plains.
Heck yeah, that's awesome.
Heck yeah. I'm so fucking pumped to see you guys tonight. You guys have been playing all sorts of fucking sold out shows. Are there any coming up that aren't sold out?
I mean, I think the shows this weekend will probably sell out. They're a little bit smaller venues. We played them before. Maybe not Saturday. It's the first time we're playing the outside stage.
Yeah, the Wave.
Wichita. Yeah. People like Billy String sell that place out, you know.
But you guys could fucking do it.
Dude, maybe, hopefully one day, you know. This weekend we might have a good chance, you know.
Dude, have you got to see Billy Strings yet?
No.
Dude, me either.
I want to so bad.
Dude, he's so fucking righteous.
And just got do you remember
Royal Sterling Massat? He taught out at SBC's.
Mm-hmm.
Royal, his brother, is Billy Strings' bass player.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, and he's a huge drummer, bro. I mean, all of Billy's, most of the guys are.
Dude, I was listening to Chris Shiflett's podcast. It's a walk on the floor. He was talking to Billy Strings and he was like, "Hey man, I got pulled over going bass fishing with a fucking joint the other day." And I was like, okay, so the dude, like, obviously I knew the dude smoked, but I was like, all right, dude's a fucking stoner. Like,
dude, oh yeah, man.
Dude, if Billy Strings music would have been around like the same time that like Meta Modern Sounds and Country Music from Sturgill was out, right when I was at the heyday of my fucking psychedelic phase.
Yeah.
That would have been some shit. Man,
imagine Billy and Sturgill working together at that time too. Golly, that would have been cool.
Wow. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Billy's really talented. He's I'd love to see him, his live show.
He's doing a lot of cool stuff for sure.
He's one of those guys too that just plays nothing but sold out shows, you know, like
yours. Yeah, he's playing here in Oklahoma somewhere, and I don't have tickets yet, but I fucking gotta get him.
And dude, like, we don't play sold out shows every single time, you know, but it is nice, like, especially like going out of Texas, like, and playing a sold out show, you know, showing up and having that confidence, like, dude, everyone here wants to watch us play. And it's like, that gives you that so much more confidence to play, like, even better that night, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And we sold out the Grizzly Rose in Denver a few times. Mm-hmm. So,
dude, that's cool. That's a cool fucking room though.
Yeah, dude, it's cool. It's a cool market. Yeah. Denver's cool.
Yeah.
Colorado in general. Going up that way, we just went up that way and played in Seattle and Portland, and we played Stagecoach this year for the first time.
Dude, what was that like? Because I...
Impressive.
Was yeah, it really?
That's a it good was word very for impressive. It. Impressive. That's the most like well put together festival we've ever been a part of. They treat the fans the best, like the artists. It's all, it's very well set up.
Like our day was like... ran so smoothly. We had a lot of stuff to do and it was always on time, perfect. Here's this, go do this.
Fed you, you had towels and yeah, fans.
Oh, everything. Dude. Everything.
It was like 110 degrees out there, man. It's just in the desert in California, yeah. You know? So they had us like, so they had our great. Bus. We couldn't really go to our bus because we were so busy that day, but they had like another trailer like for all the artists and they had them like in a little compound and they had it stocked all day.
You like scanned in and scanned out and
mm-hmm. That's slick. Like, and you said, what do they have for the fans?
I mean, everyone got to have one of those little different colors assigned seat, like Stagecoach chairs. Yeah, like they were divided by section. So like all the first, like probably like 20,000 got like a pink Stagecoach lawn chair. And then after that, like the next 20,000 got like a green one. The next, I mean, there was 85,000 people.
Interesting.
Yeah. We played the,
I mean, I guess that makes sense. Cause like I was like, why don't they just put like fucking have a pit like mob it? You know what I mean? Oh, it's, but it's, if it's 110 degrees, somebody's going to die in that bitch.
Oh yeah, dude, for sure. Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, it's well put together, like every area that there is, like, and it's cool. Like going outside of Texas and seeing like these other festivals, you know, not shitting on the Texas festivals,
right.
But like they're just kind of, they're just better for the artists. You know, it's not like you're scrounging for some water and some pizza, you know, backstage at one of these Texas festivals. But you know, that's, I mean, we're trying to like keep ourselves hydrated and ready to perform.
Right.
It's kind of hard to do that when there's not a tent
right
with some water in it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, you guys are like essentially like fucking athletes, you know what I mean? You guys got a fucking skill. You guys are up there elevating your fucking heart rates. You've got to stay fed or you get fucking, you know, lightheaded and shit like that.
Sure.
You got to stay fucking hydrated or your shit's off. Can't get too fucking drunk before you play or like.
Oh, man. You got to be on your A game because who knows if the room's going to be packed and it's super sweaty or if it's like super cold or like what condition you're going to be in. But yeah, I mean, it's. And now, like, the rooms, the people that we're playing in front of, like, we're getting to the point where we got to be on our A-game at all times, you know?
Yeah.
There was a point in our career where we were like, let's just get really drunk and have a good time.
Those are some fun shows, though. Those are some really fun fucking shows, though.
They were fun. But I feel like now, like, that we've been doing this for almost 8 years, like, it's so much more rewarding when we get done with the show and we're like, man, that was so much fun. Like, it felt like I got lost because of how much fun we were having, how good it was, you know.
I think you guys should do a a 10-year fucking Flatland pop-up show anniversary of Blue Light.
Dude, that'd be so cool.
Do it on like a fucking Wednesday.
Yeah, man. Or a Tuesday, like the first show we ever had.
Oh, it'd be so fucking slick.
Tuesday night.
Bring reprints of the first album.
Dude.
Come on.
It'd be cool.
You gotta do it.
We're almost there, man. We're in 8 years, so.
Yeah.
I think this, well, Yeah, what are we, 2022?
Yeah.
Been a band since 2014.
8 years.
8 years. Yeah.
Coming up.
Yeah. I think we also talked about doing like cool like jackets.
Oh, you've got to have fucking members only jackets or some sort of shit like that. I have to.
Yeah, man. We're happy with, you know, where we're going and the future, you know, where it's headed. You know, it's really bright things are coming for us. And
fucking A.
We can't say too much, but we're going on a pretty huge tour next year, so.
Well, tell me later. I'll keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about it later.
Hell yeah. Well, speaking of that, what are some major fucking goals? Some major shows, maybe some venues, places you haven't been, people to work with? What are some things you guys are looking forward to individually and as a band?
I mean, as far as like venues to play, really cool one for me to play in like the next couple, whenever we get asked to play, I feel like that's always the biggest thing is like when, like, yeah, it would always be cool to play somewhere. But when someone finally asks you like, hey, would you like to play here? You know, coming from that establishment, it's so much more of an honor than, you know, getting an opening slot or not shooting on an opening slot, but. I'd love to headline Red Rocks one day.
Oh, that'd be fucking righteous.
You know, playing somewhere like Madison Square Garden, or, you know, playing, you know, like the AT&T Arena in Dallas, you know, something like that, like huge shit like that. For me, you know, I don't know about Adam.
Dude, I want to go back to Europe, man.
Europe was a lot of fun.
That was awesome. But I also think, like, another goal for, like, the band is just to keep getting better and better and better and better. Mm-hmm. I mean, Reed, you know, all of a sudden he's not just a guitar player, he's harmonica, fiddle guy, you know, and then I come in and I play guitar when he's not playing guitar and just continuing to do stuff like that. So we're, you know, people watch our show and it's like undeniable. They go away like, man, those guys are killer. You know, that's a goal. You know, not that we're not there yet.
Right.
You know, which.
Well, we've definitely come a long way for sure. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
it's cool to see it. Because, you know, like me and Adam, we basically went to school to do what we're doing. And those guys,
I told you, Mom, we'd use our degree.
they just picked it up, you know, like because it was their hobby that they wanted to do in high school or junior high, and
right.
You know that this was their first band they ever were in. So it's really cool. It's really special. That doesn't really happen often.
That doesn't hardly ever happen.
It's cool to be able to use the strengths that we got from school and be able to share it with them, and then be so open to it and willing to work and get better, you know. And make themselves better.
Right. And they bring, because they didn't go to school, like they have a certain like individuality about it. That so it's like this special thing that no one else is doing paired with the know-how that we have creates this really cool show that's different from, you know, a bunch of other shows you've seen.
Yeah.
It's different, but it's also good, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And I think like, you know, that's why our music's going to continue to get better. Like we're just getting better, so I mean we're the only ones that are making the music too, so
yeah,
you know, the better we go get and the better the live show gets, the better the music's gonna get. And the show that we have right now, like we're really proud of it, and we're very happy with how it's been going, and you know, it feels really good. It feels really smooth.
Fucking A. Well, you guys make sure to check out the fucking music if you guys haven't even heard of Flatland Cavalry. But if you listen to the Quaid Things podcast, there's about a 99% chance that you guys are already big fucking fans. But make sure to check them out on an upcoming tour. Any big stops you guys got coming up you want to talk about?
We're playing in Irving at the Toyota Pavilion. We're doing the Whataburger Fest August 20th. It's a Saturday. It's us. Who else is there, Adam? Do you remember?
Dude, I can't remember, to be honest.
There's a big list of... Oh, it's us, American Aquarium.
That's my favorite band.
Is it Jake Worthington? I don't think it's Jake. It's
someone else. That one in the Carolinas.
That big festival we announced with Turnpike.
Right.
It's our first show back with Turnpike. We're so excited for that.
If you guys need help selling merch, holla at your boy.
All right, man.
We're hitting some of the usual awesome spots, too.
Mm-hmm. Like going back to Texas, going to Floors, playing Houston and White Oak.
We just were at Brewster, you know, mm-hmm. not too long ago. So we're still hitting, you know.
Hitting all the fucking spots, man. Trues,
you know, yeah, man. So.
Fucking A.
Well, we're just out here playing, dude. We're always grinding. We're always playing. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm super fucking glad to see you guys. it's a million fucking degrees in here. I'll turn this AC back on so it's not fucking with this mic. Thank you guys so much for tuning back into the motherfucking Quaint Things podcast. We are going to be kicking things off a little more regularly, a little more badass. We're going to have some awesome people coming up. And stay tuned, motherfuckers. Hug your dog, pet your dog. Don't be an asshole. We'll see you guys next time.